The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Good evening and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia El-Khoury. And tonight I'm really delighted to be joined by Jodie Moore, who's a family lawyer at Raiden Solicitors. And Jodie's going to talk to us tonight and on the show about parental alienation. So if you don't know what that is, please stay tuned. And even if you do know what it is, stay tuned to listen to Jodie talking to us about this topic. So, Jodie, thanks a million for joining us on The Parents Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on The Parents Show, Lydia. It's really lovely to be here and I'm excited to have our chat today.
Brilliant. It's our pleasure. Now, I want to start off. We know you're a family lawyer at Raiden Solicitors. Tell us a little bit more about your role.
Yeah, so I'm an associate solicitor at the team at Raiden's in St Albans. I work exclusively in the area of family law and assist families with issues relating to the breakdown of their relationships. So on a day-to-day basis, that's normally involves dealing with arrangements for children, as well as helping people with financial claims on divorce and separation from a wide range of financial circumstances. I personally have a particular interest in advising parents about issues relating to their children, which can include circumstances where parental alienation is present.
So now I have to admit that when I heard that you and I were going to chat about parental alienation, I didn't have a clue what parental alienation is. So can I ask you to tell our listeners what exactly it is in case they, like me, don't know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, parental alienation is something that has been around for a long time as a concept, but has really only started to gain traction in England over the last 20 years or so. And, you know, it's building as a concept. So it's not surprising necessarily that you haven't heard of it per se. And it essentially involves one parent either deliberately or even inadvertently alienating a child from the other parent. So it's an ongoing pattern of negative attitudes and behaviours of one parent. And it has the potential, or sometimes the expressed intention, to undermine or obstruct the child's relationship with the other parent.
Yeah, nice and simple. So it basically is when one parent, as it consciously or unconsciously, is, I suppose, trying to keep the child close to them and to the detriment of their relationship with the other parent.
Yeah, exactly. What I would say, though, is often the term parental alienation is used, and that sometimes there are, you know, genuine behaviours that are there. But also on the flip side, if you've come out of a, you know, potentially really abusive relationship, quite often the counter argument to somebody alleging domestic abuse is to say, well, no, hang on a minute. The child doesn't want to spend time with me because you're alienating them against me, as opposed to, you know, there are these other safeguarding issues. So it's a really, really tricky area. And there are lots of different, you know, competing factors at play. But parental alienation, you know, when it rightfully exists, is about those behaviours, which have the impact of obstructing that relationship and, you know, ultimately potentially leading to the child not having a relationship at all with one of their parents.
And I would imagine it's extremely common. I think there's probably a little bit of human nature involved in there. But can you give us examples of how it manifests itself so our parents can get a clear idea of what it looks like?
Absolutely. So it's a spectrum. So I think, you know, when people separate, sometimes it exists in a mild form and sometimes, you know, it becomes very extreme. But it's essentially, you know, the perpetuation of negative attitudes and beliefs that really seek to demean or ridicule or dismiss the other parent. You know, it can even go as far as conveying beliefs or, you know, false beliefs or stories so that, you know, the child misremembers information or thinks that something's happened, you know, like potentially, you know, daddy hit me, when that's, you know, completely false narrative. And ultimately, this can lead to a child falsely believing that the parent who's subject to alienating behaviours is dangerous or unworthy. And fundamentally, it's, you know, it's emotional abuse of the child at its most extreme level.
I think that'll probably be a bit of an eye-opener to parents. It certainly is to me, to think that at its extreme, it's actually a form of emotional manipulation or abuse. So it has to be taken really seriously, Jodie.
Absolutely. You know, it really does. And I think obviously at a breakdown of a relationship, you know, there's a lot of hurt there, which is completely understandable, but it's, you know, keeping in check how you're presenting and how you're parenting so that your child isn't involved in that conflict and doesn't take on, is unnecessarily involved if they don't have to. Although I appreciate, you know, that can be really difficult when you're hurting, and a lot, you know, that's why I say it can sometimes even be inadvertent. It's not an intentional thing that somebody's doing. It's just, you know, as a result of the relationship or as a result of them, they don't realize that they're having this impact on their child.
Yeah, absolutely. And so is there anything that can be done about it? You know, I've seen friends and family go through divorce, and the behavior describing, I've seen occasionally too, I'm sure everybody else has, but can anything be done about it?
Yeah, I think it's important to take early action. And, you know, obviously that behavior is on a spectrum. So what that action looks like depends on the extent of the behaviors in question, because it can often start off slowly and then over a number of years, it can sort of build up. So quite often by the time somebody comes to see someone like me, there's already been significant damage to that relationship. And sometimes that's, you know, almost completely broken down, or the parent and child haven't spent time together for a period of time. So, you know, it's really important to seek advice early to see what can be done. In terms of how to approach solving it, you know, it really is about acting quickly. Delay can be very damaging to those relationships. If contact is at the point where it's starting to break down or is already broken down, it's important to, you know, name it, see it and notice the existence of these factors and try and get contact up and running again. You know, this might involve issuing a court application so that there's a contact order in place. You know, if things haven't quite got to that stage yet, it may be that you want to consider mediation. And certainly I sometimes suggest to clients that they go to family inclusive mediation. And that's where the children would have a voice within that setting. So rather than the parents just deciding what happens, they're involved in that process too. But I think the key thing is not to let matters drift and take action to prevent it from happening where possible.
When you say take action, who should take action?
The parent that believes that the child is being alienated against them to ensure that relationship isn't damaged, because, you know, it's really, really important. There's a lot of research about how, and I caveat this to say, you know, where it's safe to do so, children should be having good, positive relationships with both parents. And if they don't, that can be, you know, incredibly damaging for them moving forward.
Brilliant. That's so, so nice and clear. So nip it in the bud, get in early. If you're noticing as a parent that you're being alienated from your child or your relationship is deteriorating. And so you suggested mediation as a solution to this. So if, for example, two parents are struggling to communicate, and this sounds like the relationship with the child would be a byproduct of the deterioration of the relationship, they should nonetheless reach out, do the best they can, and mediation would be a route to solve that.
Yeah, I think so in the first instance. But what I would say is, if it's not working, you know, don't continue down the route of mediation, because it may be that hopefully a conversation between the two of you, a discussion, particularly if it's being done inadvertently, can really, you know, bring the parents together and they can, you know, find a really positive way forward. But in really serious cases where, you know, this is very deliberate and is a pattern of manipulation, really the best thing to be doing is to be making that application to court so that you have that structure and you have the court orders in place to say that that relationship should be maintained. So mediation absolutely has its place and can be really, really helpful, but isn't something that you should, you know, if it's not working, it's not working. And because of the seriousness of parental alienation and the consequences on the relationship and on the child, it's important to take action quickly, potentially through the courts. And the courts then have, you know, a lot of different powers as part of the scope of their investigation and how they're helping the family to try and resolve these issues as well. And that could be anything from, you know, ordering that the parents and or the child go through therapeutic support. It, you know, really extreme cases, the court can even say, you know, hang on a minute, the child should live and spend a period of time living with the parent who has been alienated against, to try and, you know, rebuild that relationship in an accelerated way, even if they were primarily living or exclusively living with the other parent. But obviously that's, you know, the most extreme sort of circumstances.
That's great to know that the court has the power to ultimately step in and protect the child. Is would that be a right way of describing what the court can do?
Yeah, so I mean, the court would be looking to explore whether these alienating behaviours exist, and if so, what action can be taken, and that would involve ordering things such as therapeutic support. If the court are at such a stage where they, you know, are genuinely really, really concerned about the welfare of the child as a result of this, they can even suggest that the local authority become involved. So that's something that is available to them, you know, and I'm talking about the most extreme cases for that sort of thing. But, you know, it's a power that the court have to say, look, we're really concerned. We think the local authority should be involved. And the local authority can then, you know, potentially work with the family as well.
So there are definitely measures available to parents to do something about this, the court, local authorities. Are there any other avenues that can be explored to protect the child as early as possible?
I think it's really about identifying that behaviour and seeing it and calling it, because if it's there, then, you know, you can then look at trying to move things forward. And, you know, even as far as saying, for example, you know, the relationship has broken down, you were every Saturday before that, you were taking the children swimming, all of a sudden that's not happening. It's to sort of say, look, you know, keep it child focused. Look, we've separated. You know, I really want to still be able to do that. We used to love doing that together. You know, can we keep doing that together? And looking at problems like that and just really trying to bring it back to the child and what's in their best interests.
That's lovely and simple. Thanks, Jodie, because it's always great to hear the words that you could use in that scenario just to kind of break the ice, break the deadlock, I guess. So that's really, really helpful. Now, from your perspective, does it matter if the person who's been alienated is your client or the other parent?
No, I mean, we act on both sides and, you know, we come to it and looking at what our client is saying and what's happening. And as I touched on earlier, whilst parental alienation often exists and it, you know, it's very sad when it is going on the flip side of it, you know, there are often cases in which somebody says, look, I've been accused of parental alienation. This is absolutely not what's going on. This is just a further attempt to control me and to continue abuse that was going on within the relationship. So, you know, it doesn't matter whether the allegations are against you or you are the one saying that you are being alienated. It's important to take advice and we can help with both sets of circumstances.
And I can imagine with vast experience within your law firm, you'll probably have seen patterns of behavior and be able to kind of know what's going on quicker because you'll have had a lot of experience of previous techniques of alienation or manipulation that you've seen in parents.
Absolutely. And I would say as well, you know, if you are concerned that this is something that's going on, it's really important to just keep a record of it. You know, keep a record of when, you know, contact was set up and it didn't happen for whatever reason, because it really helps to build a picture. And, you know, sometimes alienation is something that is going on. And sometimes actually it's just that parents need a little bit of help and a little bit of structure to the arrangements of the children following separation. And it's those kind of circumstances where something like mediation might provide that forum to put that structure in place to stop these things from happening when it's at a low level.
Fantastic. And do judges take the kind of markers, I suppose, that you're mentioning? Do they take them into consideration? Can they see through potential manipulation as well?
Yes, they do. It's certainly something that the courts are alive to. In fact, if you ever got to a point where a court application was made, quite often the court have a sort of court-appointed social worker, for want of a better word, called CAFCAS, and they've created an entire sort of framework that their court advisors look at in trying to establish alienating behaviours and really flag it from the offset. So it's certainly something that they are alive to, the courts, and are taking into consideration. But what they've made very clear is it's about looking at the individual behaviours and the impact that those behaviours are having on the children on a sort of case-by-case basis. It's not about sort of, you know, trying to find the, you know, the term parental alienation. It's about the alienating behaviors and the specific impact and looking at that. And that's why it's so important to actually, you know, really think about what's happening and the behavior that is happening, so that you can, you know, really clearly identify it for the court if it's there.
That's, I have to say, it's kind of, it's great to hear the thought and effort and processes and systems in place to put the child at the center and of any kind of potentially damaging behavior. So I think it's really reassuring to hear that's what happens. Now, Jodie, have you any more top tips for parents in around parental alienation? What is your guidance?
Yeah, I mean, I think this sort of touches on what you were just saying, Lydia. It's really about trying to put the child first at every possible opportunity. So if you find yourself in a situation where somebody is saying to you that where you feel your child is being alienated from you, it's about, you know, persevering with that relationship with the child. And that's not necessarily saying, you know, go ahead and make a court application. It's persevering with that relationship. So, you know, making sure that you're sending those cards, you're sending those gifts, you're reaching out to the child, you're texting them to say, look, you know, I'm here if you want to talk, I love you, those sorts of things, so that they know that you're there. And if there is a pattern and a narrative being created by the other parent, doing really simple things like that is going to make the child, hopefully, potentially at some point, question, well, hang on a minute, you know, this isn't a case that, for example, dad's up to left and he's not interested, because dad keeps showing up, dad keeps, you know, sending me these things, that, you know, dad keeps checking in, even when I'm saying, or not replying. And I would caveat it to say, you know, don't bombard them. You know, there is a balance, but, you know, making sure you're persevering with that relationship is so important.
That's so, so lovely to hear. And again, look, lovely, simple examples of what you can be doing as a parent before mediation and before going to the law courts, just to do your level best to make sure that the child is reassured that they're loved by both parents and that they are the most important thing in the breakup of the partnership. And I think everybody has the best intentions most of the time. And if parental alienation happens unconsciously, then this is a great way to just row it back and pull the child back into the centre. Now, I'd like to say huge thanks to Jodie Moore from Raiden Solicitors for her incredibly helpful, valuable advice in and around the idea of parental alienation. And I have to say, I think it was really, really helpful hearing her kindness on the issue, because ultimately, as she said, the child comes first. Right. So that's the end of this segment of the show. Thanks again to Jodie Moore for joining us from Raiden Solicitors. Please join us again after the break.